Okay, we are in Councils for the Church, and it's titled Danger in Making Unguarded Statements. Oh, this is where hearing swiftly and speaking slowly comes in very, very, you know, I don't know how many times I've had to apologize to people, especially to my wife, because I have knee-jerk reactions to just about everything. And so now the Lord, praise his mighty name, has helped me in that respect to just bite my tongue for a while, and especially when some dramatic situation happens in the family or in the church, and I just sit in there. It's not a matter of counting to 10. It's a matter of counting to 10,000. You know, wait. You know, sleep on it. Wait till the next day. Respond then. You know, let the Holy Spirit move you as to what you should say or not say, you know. Because I'm sick of biting my tongue, and I'm sick of apologizing, you know. Hold on a second. Let me get some water. Yeah, I got a regular jug now. The other one's empty. But Fran gave me one of those bottles, and it doesn't have that noise when you drink it. So that's why that was quiet. So anyway, danger in making unguarded statements. It says, teach the people to conform in all things to the laws of their state when they can do so without conflicting with the law of God. And that's why they can go out there and say, yeah, it's legal to abort your child. I says, yeah, well, according to my Bible, it's illegal to kill. You know, the laws of heaven, Ten Commandments. You know, you might down on, in the secular world, call it illegal, but in heaven it's called sin. Sin means you're not allowed in the city, New Jerusalem, which means you're not allowed in heaven. Anyway, it goes on, it says, by some of our brethren, many things have been spoken and written that are interpreted as expressing antagonism to the government or to government and law. It is a mistake, thus to lay ourselves open to misunderstanding. For those of you listening on the radio, if you want to read along, everybody here knows how to do it. You just look at the top of the room and it says Sabbath Eve. You click that, it'll bring you right to the page I'm on. It's on my website. Remedigod.org. And you should be in the... Yeah, I think I'll put a link in on the WTPR page for those on the radio so that it'll be a little bit easier to find this. But if you just go to remedigod.org/SOP, you know, for Spirit of Prophecy, -CCH.HTM. And when you get there, there's a yellow thing that says click here for current. Click there and it'll bring you right down August 31st, 18. So, continuing, and I'm in the second or third sentence of the second paragraph, which says, it is not wise to find fault continually with what is done by the rulers of government. And some people accuse me of this, and like, for example, my bank, I haven't even called them back on this yet. It's not even my bank. It's some, you know, company that allows, a charter type company that allows you to have, use credit cards on your website, right? And they said, everything's good, you can do it. You know, so all of a sudden he comes back saying, no, you can't do it. Even though he knew it was a religious organization, he says, you don't have a 501c3. And I already told him about the 501c3, which gave me an opportunity to preach and tell him. And the bank lady loved what I was saying, but he could care less, obviously, because it didn't go well. And he said I was political. As is, if you read the statements on the website, it has nothing to do about politics. It just happens to be an ugly fact of life in today's world, especially if you watch the news media or even just regular, like if people watch regular TV, like sitcoms, they're all political now. They're all talking about this or that or whatever, right? But even that isn't where I'm, you know, hanging my hat. What I do is if I see them say or do something that was prophetically exposing them, that's where I'll put it up there. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, it's John the Baptist did it. Our Lord and Savior did it. All the apostles did it. And they didn't call it being political. But today's world, you know, whatever's evil is good, and whatever's good is evil now. So let me roll this chair back a little bit. Sit on the edge instead. All right, so it says, going on, because she says it's not wise to find fault continually with what is done by the rules of the government. It is not our work to attack individuals or institutions. We should exercise great care lest we be understood as putting ourselves in opposition to the civil authorities. It is true that our warfare is aggressive, but our weapons are to be those found in a plain, thus saith the Lord. And I think this is where the Lord's leading me to in regards to this next video, if I, you know, understand it correctly in regards to where I'm being led. to do that sermon, you know, that 30-minute thing. Maybe I can knock it down to 15 for the video. Because lately, the last couple of months, I've been thinking, you know, doing sermons on YouTube. Now that we're creeping up on, we'll be at 19,000, I think, tonight or tomorrow. And because putting up certain videos to get the subscribers would allow us to have the audience to come in and bring in real biblical truth, things they've never heard before that can be backed up with absolute scripture. And then that makes it a lot, that's better for the warfare that we're working on. Because I can understand what she's saying here. You know, even though they sometimes think that we are in opposition to the civil authorities when we're not, you know, pay the taxes, yeah, you know, get the license plates, even though there is no law, yeah, get the driver's license card, even though there is no law, yeah, I get it, you know, because it's a de facto government, so what are you going to do? But because there really isn't any law. When I used to be on First Amendment radio, they were all talking about that, and this one lady was constantly getting pulled over once or twice a month, and they knew, they were just doing that to annoy her. Because they knew she'd go to jail, spend the night, get up in the morning, the judge would get her out on an I-bomb because he says, yeah, there's really nothing we can do. You do not have to have a license plate. But they just kept on doing that to her. And she's got ham radio. This woman's must be rich or something. But so there's a lot of people out there that live like that. They won't, you know, like the sovereign man guy that we've all, I don't know if you've all seen that video where he was yelling at the judge. I mean, that's a little bit rough. You ain't got to go that far. But I do think it would be better to, in the coming days, for us to, myself anyway, to concentrate a little bit more on, sermons, if you will, on YouTube. But at the same time, we're, you know, Seventh-day Remnant people. We are known for letting people know in advance what's happening because of the prophecies. And so we can't give up that aspect of it either. So it's definitely a source for prayer to keep praying on that. But anyway, she goes on to say that our work is to prepare a people to stand in the great day of God. We should not be turned aside to lines that will encourage controversy or arouse antagonism in those not of our faith. The time will come when unguarded expressions of denunciatory character that have been carelessly spoken or written by our brethren will be used by our enemies to condemn us. They will not be used merely to condemn those who made the statements, but will be charged upon the whole body of Adventists. Our accusers will say that on such and such a day, one of our responsible men said thus and so against the administration of the laws of this government. Okay, so right there is something I'll never do. You know, I won't get up there and say, break this law. It's an unjust law. And like, even if I was a tax protester, I wouldn't bring it to the church family, because then what if they can't handle it? I wouldn't want them all to be tax protesters. I says, you know, Romans 13:1, obey, you know, like she says here at the start of it, you know. If it doesn't conflict with the law of God, well, then do it. You know, it's their job. Romans 13 is pretty clear. Their job is to, you know, uphold the laws, get rid of the criminals. And of course, yeah, in today's world, because we are in the extreme last days, the cops are out there killing people. One just went to jail for 15 years for killing that teenager in his backyard just because he thought he was a problem. You know, it's sad the way they're shooting for the chest. You know, they're not shooting for the legs. Of course, it's easier to hit a chest, obviously, but they're not asking questions first. You know, it used to be halt police, and then you'd hear the gunfire. Now you hear the gunfire, then halt police. But it's a police state. It's just, it's supposed to happen. So anyway, it goes on. Many will be astonished to see how many things have been cherished and remembered that will give point to the arguments of our adversaries. Many will be surprised to hear their own words strained into a meaning that they did not intend them to have. How many of us have seen that? I remember that one SDA minister that got caught. He took a sermon that, well, it wasn't really a sermon. It was a Q&A thing that we did on Fire Talk. It had to have been 20 years ago. I put out the suggestion, please nobody record this, because I'm not recording it, and I would wish no one else recorded it. It had to do with the SDA apostasy situation, because he was SDA and I wasn't. I was a Sabbath keeper. I understood Ellen White as a prophet and all that good stuff, but I wasn't going to join with a church that even Sister White says don't join with. I mean, there's a lot of statements that she made that they will not put on the pulpits. If the SDA's read everything that she said, they wouldn't be in the church. Just like with the Catholics. If they knew what's going on behind closed doors, they'd leave too. And so, you know, I specifically said, do not record it. And he agreed in front of all those witnesses. I think we had 75 or 80 families in there. And this is that time we used to do that every night. And so what the thing was I was to step up and do 20 minutes as to what I believe was the reasons you need to leave the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And then he was going to speak for 20 minutes about the reasons to stay in. And that's how we were going to do it. It was just going to be for their, you know, our little gathering. You know, he used to be a friend. He was part of the gathering, but all of a sudden, it was kind of like a Matthew 18 thing, but not really. And because he was going to put up his, you know, his suggestions as to what he believed. And it went well, I thought, you know, all the people understood the truth and embraced it. But then the next day, he opened up a room. And this is what she's talking about here. Many are going to be surprised to hear their own words strained in a meaning that you did not intend them to have, because everybody knew I did 20 minutes. Everybody knew he did 20 minutes. And then when they went in his room the other day and he was getting a crowd in there, he says, okay, we're going to go over with a fine-tuned comb what Nicholas said, right? And then what he was going to say. But for some reason, my 20 minutes ended up being like 7 or 8 minutes. I mean, he chopped the daylights out of it. And so that's when things got real bad for him. And I still pray for the guy. And he's just still out there, but he's atheist now. And so his name is David. Keep him in your prayers because he's sharp as a tack. But some demon got a hold of him. I don't know what's going on with him, but boy, did he definitely pray for this soul. He's a precious soul. He was really on fire when he was young, you know. And so anyway, so going on, it says, then let our workers be careful to speak guardedly at all times and under all circumstances. Let all beware lest by reckless expressions they bring on a time of trouble before the great crisis, which is to try men's souls. And again, just so that you understand what she's saying here, and to try to, you know, because like I don't see her making any political statements in any of her writings, and I haven't read them all yet, of course, but I don't think she goes there. Because I don't. I just mention things that the government does and shouldn't be doing. She does that too, but she doesn't mention names because, for whatever reason, I don't know, they didn't have as much information as you can get today with the internet, obviously. But, and everybody knows I, you know, I'll go out there and complain about Obama as much as I would Trump, you know. So I don't ride either party. But you can see, especially in Great Controversy, where she does mention the popes. And so there is something that we can do in that respect when it comes to prophecy, and so we do have to go forward. I'm not trying to belittle anything that she's saying here, of course. I just want to put it in context because a lot of people can hear this or read this as to what she's saying and might think, well, then I'm not going to say anything about anybody because, as we all know, the pope's political. This is, yeah, that's one of the reasons for the 501c3, to try to get people to shut up. But thanks to Trump, now if you speak political, you can say things on a pulpit. Which, by the way, thanks again, Brother Sean. I think you were the one that just sent me a video or a link or something like that where Trump is literally asking pastors to help him in the midterms, you know, say things on the pulpit to help him in the midterms. Was that you that sent it? Because I just got it right before church started, and I'm definitely going to check that out. Okay, because that's going to go on my Religious Laws Are Coming page. A lot of people questioned me when I first put that page up in the Vatican Socialist Agenda page, even before you saw what happened in Venezuela, you know. I says, well, the prophecies. I mean, you just see what the Bible says, and you put it up there long before those things start happening, because by the, you know, I get the little articles every now and then, you find it, so that by the time it starts hitting it heavy, I had over 100 articles to show, look, the remnant people already knew about this stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, your smiley face is backwards. All right. I've been telling them that for years. You ever notice that with Sean? The smiley face is always going the other way, but it's fine. Smiling still. All right, so anyway, finishing this section, it says, we should remember that the world will judge us by what we appear to be. Let those who are seeking to represent Christ be careful not to exhibit inconsistent features of character. Before we come fully to the front, let us see to it that the Holy Spirit is poured upon us from on high. When this is the case, we shall give a decided message. But it will be of a far less condemnatory character than that which some have been giving. And all who believe will be far more earnest for the salvation of our opponents. Let God have the matter of condemning authorities and governments wholly in his own keeping. In meekness and love, let us as faithful sentinels defend the principles of truth as it is in Jesus. I mean, after all, that's the ultimate government where there is no politics. You know, there's no back and forth. There's one party and one party only, and that's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are in agreement, and it works perfect the way they do it. And I'm not talking Trinity either, because that's Roman Catholicism with that God blob thing. All right, and sad, too. You ever notice how the devil, how crafty he is? Like, I was just talking to somebody earlier on YouTube right before, because I noticed I had 12 comments, and if I don't answer all of them, or at least go through all of them, if I just answer one and then zip back away and come back, I'll never notice where it left off, because YouTube's method of threading, like the bulletin board days, it's garbage. You do it all, you don't do it at all, you know, and it's really annoying and hard. If you get up in the morning, you see 30 comments, you know, or 20 comments, or even 10, because a few moments ago it was 12. But it was, anyway, kind of went off track there. Sorry about that. Anyway, let's go to the next one here, because I kind of lost my train of thought. Sunday laws. Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm glad I started that page many years ago on the Sunday Laws page, but the stuff is, I've got a whole mess of articles I never even put on the site yet because it's just repetitive, the same stuff over and over and over and over. You know, people get bored with the blog if you're saying the same thing every day. So I stash them, then I get a pile of links, and I'll throw it in there once in a while. But they are pushing Sunday Laws like they've never done before, you know. And I'm thinking, and I was just talking to my son about... Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Thank you, Lord. In regards to the conversation I was having on YouTube and the craftiness of Satan, how he can turn it around and make it look like doing the right thing is actually doing the wrong thing. Take, for example, the Seventh-day Adventists that think you got to get back in the church, you got to stay in the church because their pastors are saying the shaking is occurring and the people that are leaving are being shaken out, when it's exactly opposite of that. This is how crafty Satan is. I mean, just look around today. Whatever's good is evil. Whatever's evil is good. So he's going to backtrack. He's going to change it around. And that's why they always get a little shocked when I say to them, when they say, oh, look, Sister White says never start a new denomination if you're a Sabbath keeper and you adhere to the original SDA statement of faith. And I says, yeah, thank you. And they go, wait a second. You're SDR. You started a new denomination. No, we didn't. You guys did. And then then you can really hear their eyebrows flying up off their forehead. And they go, what do you mean? I says, well, you know, if you look at the statement of faith of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, even back from the 80s when you adopted the Catholic Trinity, and now you're saying Allah is God, Holy, you know, and what is it? Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, and drinking, and you can work on Saturdays if you're a nurse, as long as you donate the money to the pastor. And I'm, you know, I was like, I mean, that's just not the end of it. I mean, if you go to SDA Apostasy and look at those doc files that most people don't even know exist, where the Seventh-day Adventist leaders actually call each other cardinals and nuns and stuff like that. And it's in writing. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not going to mess up my prayer life just to make a point. It's just not happening. And so this was kind of like getting confusing for the guy. And so I just more or less said, look, if you stay in the church... Because it has been taken by Satan. Probation has closed on the Seventh-day Adventist Church corporate. We already know this. We don't know when exactly it happened. I got a page on the website all about it. It has happened. The people, it hasn't closed on them yet because the plagues haven't begun. And so you got to get out before that happens. But if you stay in the church, you're actually the ones that are being shaken out of the church because of what it says in Revelation about, you know, the virgin who follows the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And so the ones, if you notice, that leave the Seventh-day Adventist Church or are disfellowshipped are the ones that are actually trying to follow Christ and help others to do the same. And that ticks off the preachers because their 501c3 says if you allow that kind of language to be flying around in your church service, you're going to lose your tax-free status. Or if they're just plain Jesuits, they just don't want you there. I don't care about the tax-free stuff. I'm wondering what's going on in the background here, if it's a video glitch, because the SoundForge is acting weird. Long as it records it, though, because the VU meter goes blank every now and then, and then it comes back. Yeah, Revelation 14:4. They are these which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And so there's where the confusing part is. And so he goes, well, yeah, still, you start a new denomination. He says, no, we haven't. If you look at the original statement of faith of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and Ellen White's day, and you look at the statement of faith as to what we believe in the SDR Church, it's an exact duplicate. We believe the same thing. We only changed the name to prevent you from suing us. They didn't change the denomination. You guys did. Now you teach a Trinity. You teach it's no big deal to keep Sunday holy. You teach, you know, drinking's okay and tattoos. I saw the one kid in that one video where he's got Seventh-day Adventist, or no, just plain Adventist, tattooed on his forearm. They got rock and roll in the school, in the churches. They got, and as you know, like, I understand the Christmas tree, what Sister White said about that, but make it as unlike the world as possible, like a living potted plant in the church. But no, they're all doing it just like the rest of the people. They cut the tree off. It's dying right there in the building, gilded with all this stuff like you see on the garland that you see at Christmas, with the gifts and the baubles and the mistletoe, and they do Lent. And so, yeah, they have changed the denomination. They have done exactly what Sister White said not to do, but they missed it because the devil did a little flip on it. He made it look like we changed it, when we didn't. They did. And so that's the craftiness. I kind of went a little bit overboard on explaining that. But anyway, let's go into this next one here about the Sunday laws. It says religious powers allied to heaven by profession and claiming to have the characteristics of a lamb will show by their acts that they have the heart of a dragon and that they are instigated and controlled by Satan. The time is coming when God's people will feel the hand of persecution because they keep holy the seventh day. Satan has caused the change of the Sabbath in the hope of carrying out his purpose for the defeat of God's plans. He seeks to make the commands of God of less force in the world than human laws. Yeah, it's something. And that's more or less what the Mark of the Beast is all about. You follow the law of God, or you follow the law of man. If you follow the law of God, nothing really changed in your life, you know, other than you're, you know, an obedient Christian and you're being blessed on a regular basis. But if you follow the law of man, or if you refuse to follow the law of man, they'll cut your head off, and or they'll persecute you or whatever the case may be. They're trying to make it look like, well, we know what they're doing. I don't need to explain all that. But she says that the man of sin, who we know is the Pope, and all his prelates, if you really want to think about it. The man of sin who thought to change times and laws and who has always oppressed the people of God will cause laws to be made enforcing the observance of the first day of the week. And by the way, this reminds me of, I was talking to somebody about this, you know, like the molestation scandal that you see at the Vatican right now, where it's banging on the Pope's doorstep, and even go so far as to say he's not going to say a single word about it, you know, plead the fifth if he was in the U.S., you know, what he's doing, because he doesn't want to implicate himself, right? And so, and then you got this thing that I just put out today that came out 2 days ago, 3 days ago, in regards to, we already knew about the thousands and thousands of dead children that are buried on Catholic property, church property. But this thing that's been going on in Australia and Ireland and Canada, but now it's happening in America. And so I put that video up. And I think, like I said, didn't get halfway through it. It's just too hard to read. It's kind of like Fox's Book of Martyrs, what they did to these kids. But we still have to tell the people with what's, you know, keeps going on. And it just never ends. This church doesn't change. But yeah, this thing that I was sharing with someone that contacted me, with all these bad things that are happening with the Pope right now, and this happened back, you know, what is it, 20 years ago when it started in Boston, I think it was in the 80s or 30 years ago, with the molestation scandal that went off the charts, which happens in every generation since the Catholic Church was formed. But I'm waiting, because I don't know if it's bad enough now. I mean, it's looking bad. And I just prayed this yesterday. I says, Father God, let it be that this Pope steps down and another one steps up, so as we have that much more ammunition to come out against the Catholic people that keep saying that Malachi was a prophet. He declared that this is the last Pope. Because we know that's just an agenda. And that'll give us more fodder in our canons of truth, but we'll see what happens there. Or will it be Satan appears? This is what I was telling somebody the other day, and I didn't even get a text back or nothing. It was just like it shocked them to a point where it says, oh, well, hey, it's a seed planted. As long as it's there, and all of a sudden you see Satan appear acting like he's Jesus Christ, they're going to think, oh. Because thinking about it, it's getting so bad for the Pope now. Everybody in his cardinals and bishops are asking him to step down. And I think four states already in the America, the archdiocese, have asked him to resign. And the Catholic people are asking him to resign now. And so it's getting bad. Like I was telling that person the other day, I said, is it getting bad enough to where Satan goes, all right, now I'm going to show up, act like Jesus Christ, and make everybody think it's really not that bad because the Pope is trying to do his best because he'll act like he's Jesus standing next to the Pope, giving him a hug. Everybody in the world will say, oh, look at Jesus is here now, and it's finally the end of the world and all this. And he'll whisper in his ear, of course, about the son he lost. But that, it has to be at the midstream or tail end. Well, it wouldn't be the tail end, but I would think it'd be right after the loud cry is getting really, really loud. By the way, that's another praise. TheLoudCry.org is online. Still under construction, but... And I need your links. Anybody in here that has websites or video sites or even studies that you want to put on here that aren't on the other sites, let me know. We're going to put links all over this thing. I like it to make it just a one-page website where I just point to things, you know. So getting back, let me backtrack a little bit. The man of sin who thought to change times and laws and who have always oppressed the people of God will cause laws to be made enforcing the observance of the first day of the week. But God's people are to stand firm for him, capital H. And the Lord will work in their behalf, showing plainly that he is the God of gods. And now I would think at this point, when we go forth, well, I think even in the loud cry, the loud cry has already been going because that's why they put out the Sunday laws to try to shut us up, even though some of the SDA ministers are saying it's the opposite. They're saying the Sunday laws come first, then the loud cry. Says, well, that doesn't make any prophetic sense, nor does it say the Bible says the opposite, SOP says the opposite. But that's to keep the people off track. It's just no different from the seven-year trib thing. It just keeps it allows for a bunch of people to be caught off guard, and that's what they're going for there. But yeah, this will be a definite heavy period for us. But the thing is, I could at this point in time, absolute sermons. I mean, it would just be about getting your life right with Christ, and who cares what the government's doing? Because at this time, everybody knows. Why even bother talking about the government now? It's really a waste of time because everybody knows it's bad. So going on, it says, the law for the observance of the first day of the week is the production of an apostate Christendom. Sunday is a child of the papacy, exalted by the Christian world above the sacred day of God's rest. In no case are God's people to pay it homage in any way, shape, or form, by the way. But I wish them to understand that they are not doing God's will by braving opposition when he wishes them to avoid it. In other words, I don't know if she'll touch on this, but when they pass the Sunday laws and say you can't do things on Sunday, because that's what they did first in Israel, a lot of people thought, oh, that's never going to happen. Well, 3 years ago they did, and then last year they said they could actually break Sabbath day. And then the next thing they're going to do, obviously, is they're going to say, if you keep Sabbath day, you're in trouble. The real Sabbath. Because, in other words, like, if you live in a city, which wouldn't be advisable at this time, obviously, they pass the Sunday laws, don't purposely go out there, walk out of your house with a briefcase and your tie on and going over to the car. Your neighbors are going to start, you know, dropping a dime on you. And it's just like with, you don't go out and mow your lawn on Sunday and, you know, don't make it. You can, there's nothing wrong with keeping the day holy, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's not a Sabbath. But you can go visit the sick, you can help the needy, you can do, you know, take advantage of it and really glorify the Lord, because eventually they're going to make it where it's going to be illegal just to keep the seventh day Sabbath. So anyway, she goes on to say that thus they create prejudice so bitter that it is impossible for the truth to be proclaimed. Make no demonstration on Sunday in defiance of law. If this is done in one place and you are humiliated, the same thing will be done in another place. We can use, this reminds me of, I can't remember it wasn't Huss. There was a young guy that was connected with Luther. Luther didn't want him to go. He went anyway. Luther didn't think he was ready to go, you know, hit the circuit, you know, preaching town to town. he stepped into a town that was controlled by Rome, and they burned him alive. They killed him. And anyway, she goes on. She says, we can use Sunday as a day on which to carry forward work that will tell on the side of Christ. We are to do our best, working with all meekness and lowliness. When we devote Sunday to missionary work, the whip will be taken out of the hands of the arbitrary zealots who would be well pleased to humiliate Seventh-day Adventists. When they see that we employ ourselves on Sunday in visiting the people and opening the scriptures to them, they will know that it is useless for them to try to hinder our work by making Sunday laws. See? We can be crafty too, you know, wise as a serpent, but harmless as doves. And so, I mean, you can do this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can do this all week, in fact. For those of us that are full-time, that's literally life. And then she goes on, she says, Sunday can be used for carrying forward various lines of work that will accomplish much for the Lord. On this day, open-air meetings and cottage meetings can be held. House-to-house work can be done. Those who write can devote this day to writing their articles. Whenever it is possible, let religious services be held on Sunday. Now, she's not saying to keep Sunday like a Sabbath. You know, you can have Bible studies and stuff like that. You can have it on Wednesdays, too. You know, a lot of people do that. Make these meetings intensely interesting. Sing genuine revival hymns and speak with power and assurance of the Savior's love. Speak of on temperance and on true religious experience. You will thus learn much about how to work and reach many souls. Let the I wonder if this. I had a Sunday keeper. Well, this was during midweek, though, when I went to go pick up those pews years ago, when we first started out as a home church. I didn't think he was going to ask me to say anything. I had no clue, but you know, he had me step up on the pulpit. It was a Sunday keeping church, and I would, you know, love to do it again. But I can understand the. I mean, I would speak on prophecy, obviously, but I wouldn't. You wait until you see the flower starting to bloom before you start watering it some more, don't you think? And so I would get my foot in that door eventually and try to share Sabbath truth, of course. Because once the people start realizing that what you're saying is true, they might want to listen a little deeper. So going on, she says, let the teachers in our schools devote Sunday to missionary effort. I was instructed that they would thus be able to defeat the purposes of the enemy. Let the teachers take the students with them to hold meetings for those who know not the truth. Thus, they will accomplish more than they could in any other way. The people must be given the truth, straightforward, positive truth. But this truth is to be presented in the Spirit of Christ. We are to be a sheep in the midst of wolves. Those who will not, for Christ's sake, observe the cautions he has given. Right. Those who will not, for Christ's sake, okay, observe the cautions he has given, who will not exercise patience and self-control, will lose precious opportunities of working for the master. In other words, if you're not sure, keep your mouth shut. Or stay indoors on Sunday or whatever when that comes, because it could happen in our generation, you know. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and so I'm hoping it happens before I get old enough to, go to sleep. And finishing, she says, the Lord has not given his people the work of making a tirade against those who are transgressing his law. In no case are we to make a raid on the other churches, you know, kind of like the Westboro Baptists do, or some of the street preachers by calling the young girls bad names, calling the boys bad names. That doesn't bring people to Christ. It's just not going to happen. In no case are we to make, okay, I already said that, so finishing here, she says, we are to do all we can to remove the prejudice that exists in the minds of many against our work and against the Bible Sabbath. So amen and amen. All right, this next one's kind of short, so maybe we won't go over too much. It's like 5-2, or 7-2. The wall. I'm not looking at the wall anymore. It's 8:53, so I got plenty of time. All right, chapter 50, brand new chapter. So, okay, this one's titled Satan's Deceptive Work. And it says, she says, I saw evil angels contending for souls and angels of God resisting them. The conflict was severe. Evil angels were corrupting the atmosphere with their poisonous influence and crowding about these souls to stupefy their sensibilities. Holy angels were anxiously watching and waiting to drive back Satan's host. But it is not the work of good angels to control the minds of men against their will. if they yield to the enemy and make no effort to resist him, then the angels of God, ooh, that's scary. Think about that next time you're flipping through the channels. Actually, throw the TV out if you want my advice. But if they yield to the enemy and make no effort to resist him, then the angels of God can do but little more than hold in check the host of Satan, that they shall not destroy until further light be given to those in peril, to move them to arouse and look to heaven for help. Jesus will not commission holy angels to extricate those who make no effort to help themselves. I missed a spot in there. You make no effort, I guess. Okay, yeah, I didn't miss it. Okay, so anyway, she goes on to say that if Satan sees that he is in danger of losing one's soul, he will exert himself to the utmost to keep that one. And when the individual is aroused to his danger, and with distress and fervor, looks to Jesus for strength, Satan fears that he will lose a captive, and he calls a reinforcement of his angels to hedge in the poor soul and form a wall of darkness around him, that heaven's light may not reach him. Another good reason to read daily in the Word of God. Study daily. Don't surface read it. Understand it, you know. Try to get as much out of it as you can. Give yourself that time if you're working a 9-to-5, you know, to study it. And then most importantly as well, pray. Be in communion with the Lord. Have that special time with him. I mean, he walked in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve. So, going on, it says, but if the one in danger preserves, or rather perseveres, and in his helplessness casts himself upon the merits of the blood of Christ, our Savior listens to the earnest prayer of faith and sends a reinforcement of those angels that excel in strength to deliver him. But again, you got to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, you're not going to see these gigantic beings fighting it out and duking it out. It's not like you're going to be the understudy of Elijah. When he says, let them see him on the, you know, there are more for us than there are for him, you know, when all those angels are out there. We're not going to be able to see this stuff going on, but you will discern it. You will know it. Those of us that are striving out into the perfection, you know about the little tiny bits and pieces of your bad character are dropping off. You know, like you've been tempted so many times for decades. I know, like myself, for decades, I've been tempted in certain ways to react to certain responses from other people or statements from other people. And, you know, growing towards the tongue biting, as I was talking about earlier. Not saying anything, just backing off and saying, okay, Lord, I'm giving this one to you. And boy, the peace just, it makes it so much easier to deal with, and it calms you down. And that's the thing I like the most, because I don't know if you've heard of me talk about body rot before, but you can literally, I mean, stress, you know, not only does it cause hair to fall out, it can literally, you know, like, and there's all sorts of ways to stress yourself out. You know, stress yourself out doing good things for the Lord. You're overdoing it, and you should take a break, of course. Or stress yourself out getting upset at the drop of a hat. I mean, some people get upset for the dumbest things. And so when you get past that, you start realizing, wow, it's a much calmer. And it comes with age, too. That's, you know, one of the beauties of it. And I can see, is one of the reasons why most of the older people in America, thanks to the diet and the chemtrails and whatever else, they're, you know, the stuff that they're putting in the processed foods, not only are they dumbing down the children as they come out of school and they can't even read and write sometimes, but the elderly in our country are literally becoming crippled in their mind. Everything from Alzheimer's to Parkinson's. And it's just from what they're reading. And because what they're trying to do is I mean, look at China, for example. I think it's China where they show so much respect to the elderly because you know. Especially when you get around, you know, in your late 50s and 60s and stuff like that, you start to realize, wow, you think differently because you've got all these experiences. And you know that, yeah, this is just not worth it. Because I've seen this kind of situation come up 20 times in my life. And every time, all it does is get my blood to boil, and that's it. It all fades away. It doesn't last. It's just like what I always talk about, lies always hit the ground. Eventually, truth comes out all the time, every time. You know, so why bother with it? You know, it's not worth the headaches. It's not worth the guilt. It's not worth any of it. So you just walk away from it, right? And then you, being an elder person like in China, you can relay that information to the young, and it'll help them grow. It's kind of like commandment number 5, giving honor unto your parents, taking the truth that they understand and running with it and getting even more truth. That's the real method of honoring. And But here in America, you want to ask Grandpa, you know, what he used to have to do to deal with this, and all he can do is stare at the wall. I mean, he's gone, mentally gone. And so that's part of Satan's plan, too, I could see, in this, especially in America, because of the way it just, you look back in time, and especially when they, and I don't understand why they do this and how they don't think it's morbid, but when they dig up the bodies of the mummies and stuff like that, and they do these autopsies on them, I mean, who do you think you are? Just because these people aren't around and they can't complain and all this other stuff, it kind of reminds me of the orphanages, too, when they attack these kids because mom and dad ain't around. But they do these things, they dig up these bodies, and they destroy, they're not destroying any peace, I mean, they're just dead. But it's just disgusting. But my point in all this is they did do this, and they did find that Pharaoh and his people back in their day were dying of the exact same diseases that Americans die of. You know, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, all of it, everything was the same. Because of, you know, the stress of the life and, of course, the food, if you want to call it that. Anyway, finishing, it goes on to say that Satan cannot endure to have his powerful rival appealed to, which is Jesus. He doesn't want anybody talking to him. For he fears and trembles before his strength and majesty. At the sound of fervent prayer, Satan's whole host trembles. He continues to call legions of evil angels to accomplish his object. And when angels, all-powerful, clothed with the army of heaven, come to the help of the fainting pursued soul, Satan and his host fall back, well knowing that their battle is lost. Kind of like when Peter started crying at the third, you know, when the rooster crowed. He says, yeah, Satan says, don't bother. This guy will give his life now. So don't bother. Let's regroup and figure out some other way to attack him later. And they did, obviously. And so, finishing, it says, the willing subjects of Satan are faithful, active, and united in one object. And although they hate and war with one another, it's just so ridiculous, yet they improve every opportunity to advance their common interest. But the great commander in heaven and earth has limited Satan's power. And I want to praise God for that, but just one point as well. And I'm thinking of making a video about this because I actually did write the script or whatever about it, but I never really done anything with it. And the video was, the title is more or less, why is everybody so angry? If you think about it, the road rage, it's just, and just in schools, the kids are yelling and fighting all the time, husband and wives, the divorce rate is way up, and everybody's angry. Well, first of all, look at all the movies you're watching. It's all very violent and hateful and all this other stuff. And plus, you're walking with demons, and they hate you as much as they hate each other. The misery loves company. Yeah, we all get that. But they know where they're headed, and that's upsetting them, especially now. It's at the end of the 6,000 years. Maybe in Adam and Eve's day, you know, they thought, well, okay, fine. Who knows how many angels fell with Satan, but, you know, there was a lot. And because now, even without him, this is thousands of thousands, ten thousand. We know what it says in Revelation. But you're sitting there going, you know, we're twiddling our thumbs here, dude. You know, you're talking to Satan, obviously, and all you got is Adam and Eve. And so they're kind of focused on Eve, right? Now they've got billions of people to play around with. And they're more or less doing it. That's one of the reasons you saw what happened with Legion. He had like 1,000 demons in him, right? Isn't that a Legion? And they asked Jesus to put him in the pigs. And I get that back from when I saw that, after reading what I saw Barry Manilow singing, that one song, I write the songs to make the young girls cry. If you look at the words of that song, without the music, just look at the words of that song. It's Satan's coming out party. It's more or less Satan singing and telling you what he's doing with the rock and roll, because he's the angel of music. He's got the tabrets built right into his body. And so they're upset, and they're very upset at each other, and they know everything's about to end. And so they're trying to. And so when they went into, that's one of the reasons they went into the pigs, is because, like it says in the song, I'm young again. Like, in other words, he says he finds a real nice place to start is in your heart. And he goes, when he's in your heart, he's young again, even though he's very old. This is a demon. The demon's thousands of years old, and you're what, 20? And And so, yeah, it's going to make them, it's just, that's why they say, let us go on the pigs, because we all know just by science alone that the body of a pig is very similar to the body of a human. I mean, they could go into a dog too if they want, it doesn't really matter. They just want to be in something that's younger because they're sick of what's going on, obviously. They know they messed up. They used to be eternal beings. They were in heaven. And so, yeah, they're upset with each other and upset with themselves because they fell for what this massive idiot said, which is Satan. As smart as he is, he's got to be the dumbest thing that was ever, that would ever walk this earth. I mean, you think about it, you actually think you could fight against God. And all he's going to do at the end of it all is just help God weed out the problems, you know, like, you know, separate the weed from the wheat from the tares. That's all that's really going down here. He's not going to win anything, you know, because those people have already made their decisions. So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with everything that we need to go day by day. And Lord, we need a lot more courage. We need a lot more love and discernment and faith and peace, gentleness, meekness, patience. We need it all, Father. We want to go forth and glorify you. And so thank you for blessing us and always hearing our prayers and answering us and giving us that understanding when you give us your word, or even here in Spirit of Prophecy, which is filled with your word. We thank you, Father, for all these things and for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. We also thank you, Father, for blessing everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And this little boy, this little three-year-old boy that we're praying for, and if it's your will for him to go to sleep, he really doesn't understand it. And he's going to be as fearless for that as a Christian is, fearless of death. But his mom, she might have a rough go with this. And so, Father, we lift her up too. And so we thank you for blessing her and the little boy and the whole situation there. And let the doctors, everybody, let them see your hand move on either end. Even if the child dies, the way the mother reacts to it because of your peace, that would be a blessing unto all that's looking on. And again, we thank you so much for hearing our prayers and blessing us with your presence. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.